There we go. And I hit the wrong button. Okay, now I'm good. All right. Now I think I'm good. Now I'm going to be good here shortly. There we go. Got it. All right. Adam or Scott, whoever reposts this, I'm sorry. I forgot to turn the recording on, so we're starting a little late. But anyway, I had a choice. I had a choice. Number one choice was to read Obama's speech about the passing of John Lewis. I thought it's a terrific speech. And my reading of these speeches is basically hopefully educational for you, so that you can listen to the words of intelligent people or just people that have insight. Or you can listen to me sneeze. I'm sorry about that. That came up out of nowhere. Have you ever had one of those? That was kind of embarrassing. Anyway, if I had been in public and I don't have my mask on right now because nobody's here, I would have scared a lot of people with that sneeze. Anyway, the thought to read Obama's message about John Lewis's passing just seemed a little too political today for me. I might do that next week. We've had a lot of politics. We talked a lot of politics in the first 2 hours on the air show with Scott, and Adam was here, and I didn't want to keep wrenching the politics out of my washcloth that I cry into. I think we're all getting a little tired of politics, and we have let me check here what my phone says. Now this is kind of interesting because my phone quite often says it's one day less than what I see on TV. It says we have 47 days till election day, and what I think my phone is counting, it's counting from today to the day right before election day. So that's how many days we have. I imagine that the TV shows will all say that we have 48 days, but that's until we're actually voting. We have 47 days prior to election day. That's not very far away. And I also now have two other things that my calendar is watching for. It's watching for inauguration day, which is January 20th, and we have 125 days till inauguration day. Okay, hard word for me to say. And I added one for all of my friends who are involved in the popcorn festival. We have 357 days till the next popcorn festival. That's going up to the Thursday after Labor Day, right? All right. I don't know why I pulled that up, but I did. And I like having that on there. Anyway, what I decided we were going to talk about today is after you turn 70 or even 60 or definitely 80, there are some things that you start doing that you didn't do before you were that age. There are a lot of things. And right now with the COVID-19 is so much in the news, there are a lot of things that we do, especially us older folks who are trying not to get sick, including wearing the mask and socially distancing and not going out very often. And, you know, I haven't found it a problem. I've been able to do a lot of thinking. I've done a lot of writing. I've done a lot of puttering around the house. My garden, my perennial garden, went crazy. My other garden actually did better than it had done in the last 2 or 3 years, but I'm still not very green-thumbed, if that's a word. There was a word somebody said today on the air that I was going to look up, and it definitely wasn't a word, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway, So these are things that after you turn, let's say after you turn 70, you start thinking maybe you ought to do. And the very first one, and this was on my Facebook. It was sent to me by another friend who happens to be over 70, and he had found it from another friend. This list was put on by a friend over 70. So that's, if you're under 70, you might chuckle at these things, but I think it's pretty wise. I think as you get 60, 70, maybe even 50, some people, you start thinking about things in a more serious and more, I don't know what the word is, more intelligent way of thinking about life. So many things are dramatic before you're 60. How you look, how you, exactly how you talk, who your friends are, you know, what your relationships are. And I know with my three children who all, well, two of them have children, so they're my grandchildren, they're kind of caught up in, you know, how do you raise the best kid you can, right? My third child does not have children, and I don't think they're going to have children, but they have a dog and a cat. So that's my grand dog and grand cat. Oscar De Wilde is the cat's name. And why can't I remember the doggy's name? Great doggy. I love him. Anyway, he's the wine dog. He goes out when there's crows or anything picking at the fruit on the grapevines, and my son is a vintner, so they need those that fruit. The dog runs out and scares the heck out of those birds, and they don't pick at the fruit anymore. Anyway, the first thing on this list I thought was kind of interesting. After loving my parents, my siblings, my spouse, and my children, and I've lost both of my siblings, and I've lost both of my parents, all my grandparents. After loving my parents, loving my siblings, my spouse, my children, my friends, now I have to start loving myself. Now, I learned that lesson a long time ago, and some people may say, I've loved myself way too much for too long. But I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. But I learned fairly early. I guess I was in my 30s when I realized, okay, you've done some stupid stuff. Quit doing it and forgive yourself for it and move along. And I have from way back in my late 30s, I guess. I think that's good for any age, but I think when you're in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, you need to do that. You need to love yourself, all right? So, because when it all comes down to it, you're the only one that really is going to care when, you won't care when you're underground, but you really are the only thing that matters, and I know your spouse matters, I know your kids matter, but if you aren't around, they aren't around in your mind. So, okay, so make sure you start loving yourself if you haven't already started. I hope you have. The next, number two, I just realized that I'm not Atlas. The world does not rest on my shoulders. yeah, the world doesn't rest on your shoulders. Some people take that too far, where they go to the point where they don't want to have any social responsibility. I have become far more socially responsible in the past 5-10 years because of my political leanings and my political involvement. But yeah, you're not Atlas. You can't put all the problems of the world on your shoulders. But one of the things you can do, you can pick up a couple of things. You can pick up feeding the children of the world. You can pick up being kind. You can find things that you can lift up on your shoulders, and I think you should find those things. The world doesn't rest on your shoulders, but it certainly is a lighter lift if you're helping. So anyway, let's move on to number three. I now stopped bargaining with vegetable and fruit vendors. A few pennies more is not going to burn a hole in my pocket, but it might help the poor fellow save for his daughter's school fees. We quite often forget things about the people we deal with. One of the things, probably one of the worst things I can remember doing to anyone, and it happened to be because I had had too many beers. We were at a automobile race up in Michigan, and we were eating right after the race was over. We were eating at a restaurant, and I was way too tipsy. Back in those days, I drank way too much. And it was only beer, but I was buzzed. And I just gave the waiter holy hell, because when the food came, it was a little on the cool side. It wasn't cold, but it was a little on the cool side, and for some reason or other, it set me off. Well, that goes along the same line as stop bargaining with the vegetable and the fruit vendor. That waiter, he first of all, he didn't make the food, and I'm yelling at him. There is no reason that I should yell at him. And the food was perfectly fine tasting. And it wasn't going to hurt me any if I just shut up and ate the food. And it would make my waiter's day a lot more pleasant. He could go home and be more pleasant to his wife and his children. Just like if you're shopping and you're buying fruits and vegetables from a vendor. Let's say you go to a farmer's market. I guess there are people that think bartering is part of the deal. And maybe it is with some people. But I've always figured if a person asks 25 cents for an ear of corn, that's probably lower than it is in the grocery store. Why should I bargain with him over it? If it's a good price, give him the price. He needs every penny he can get. We are really struggling to help our family farms out, and I guarantee you it's going to hurt you a lot less than it hurts him if he doesn't get the money for his food. A few pennies isn't going to make a bit of difference. Help your fellow man out. I don't understand why we are so stingy. And I know I'm. There are people that would call me stupid because I would do that. But I was brought up by a mother and a father who felt that you should be kind to those around you. And you aren't a fool if you're kind. There are a lot of people that think you're a fool, or they call you a sucker if you go to get into the service. Now, we've heard that recently, haven't we? But you can be kind and not be a sucker. You can be kind and not be a fool. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say that those of us who are kind are a lot less foolish and a lot less a sucker than those that are so tied up in the ability to get money and get it away from other people. I just hate the greed that we've gotten to, and I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican. If you're a greedy SOB, I don't want you in my house. All right, number four. I pay my Sonic car hop a big tip. The extra money might bring a smile to her face or his face. She's toiling much harder for a living than me. And isn't that the truth? Especially now that I'm retired. I don't have much money. My wife and I subsist on Social Security and a couple of annuities that we bought into, thanks to her mother's inheritance. So we're not getting rich. I don't have too many nickels and dimes to spread around, but I'm sure not going to be cheap with my car hop. That person's probably making a lot less than I'm making on Social Security. I keep getting phone calls from or messages on my phone. I'm sorry if you keep hearing that ding. Ignore me, all right? I'm going to put it on the thing where you don't hear anything. If I can figure out how to do that, it's this little switch here, and I do that, and silent mode's on. There we go. Now I won't hear those dings anymore. It's 12:30. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio. 107.1. I'm Glenn Coble. If you want to call in and say some things that you've learned as you've gotten older, be glad to take your phone call, 740-383-9944. Okay. Number five, I stopped telling the elderly. Now, mind you, this is a person that's over 70 that made this list. I stopped telling the elderly that they're already narrated that story many times. The story makes them walk down the memory lane, and I relive the past. Okay. Your mom and dad, if they're still alive and they're telling you stories you've heard 100 times, let them tell it. It's not going to hurt anything. Now, my wife was on the phone with my youngest son a week ago for 2.5 hours. Now, she should have maybe not told so many of the old stories. I quit listening at about 1.5 hours. So, but anyway, stop telling your mom and dad that they're telling you that story over again. Enjoy the story. Listen to it. Smile. Make them relive it. That'll make them happy. And as you get older, you look for all the little happy things you can, especially if you're not in good health. Now, my wife and I have been very fortunate that our health has held pretty good. I have a little heart problem, but I've been able to take care of myself so that it hasn't been bad. Carol's mom and dad and grandparents, all four of them, lived into their 90s, so she's been pretty good. Okay. I have learned not to correct people even when I know they're wrong. The onus of making everyone perfect is not on me. Peace is more precious than perfection. Now, I struggle with that. I must admit, I struggled today with that. If you were listening earlier, there are a lot of people that have lots of tales that they'd like to tell you. And I know they're wrong, but I've learned to keep my mouth shut in most cases. I don't always do it, but in most cases, because what difference does it make if they're wrong? They'll find out sooner or later that they were wrong, or they will continue to think they're right. You're not going to change their mind. So I get real quiet when I don't know if you've ever noticed this on the air show that we do. Occasionally I get really quiet because I just don't want to argue with somebody that I think is spreading talking points. I hate the word talking points. I hated it when I was a politician. I tried not to give talking points. They would send me stuff from the Democratic Party that don't say it this way, say it that way. Well, I'm going to tell you the way I think with the language that I have. Believe me, the Republicans do exactly the same thing. They have the way they want you to couch stuff. Right? All right. So there's no sense in trying to correct people. First of all, you have to know that you are correct. And many times you don't really know that you are correct. You've been told that you're correct, but that person that told you that may not know the truth. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on right now with the Woodward book, where they actually have Mr. Trump's actual voice on tape. And but you know, even then, you can record somebody, and you can't see them, you can't see their body language, you're not sure quite whether they're kidding or they're adjusting the truth, or they honestly believe it. So you got to be a little bit careful there, telling people that they're wrong, because you might be the one that's wrong. I find it very difficult to talk in a situation where people are so emotionally involved in their answers, even if they're, and many times they are absolutely certain that they're right, and you are absolutely certain that they're wrong, but neither one of you were there. So be careful, all right? Number seven, I give compliments freely and generously. Compliments are a mood enhancer, not only for the recipient, but for me. And now this is what this person who wrote this down said. And a small tip for the recipient of the complaint, never, never turn it down. Just say thank you. I mean of the compliment, not the complaint. And you probably should not turn down the complaint as well. Say thank you. And my mother was really good at that. I guess ministers' wives get good at doing that sort of thing. If somebody would say something bad about my father, well, his sermon was so long, or his sermon was way off point today, or worse yet, your husband is a communist, which he was called. My mom would say thank you and just nod her head and wait for the next person to come in line. See, we used to get in line at the end of church, even the kids, and say thank you to people as they were leaving church, and have a nice day. See you next Sunday. That's what ministers' kids were expected to do, and we did. We were all pretty good. My brother was not so good at it. My brother kind of rebelled when he turned about 16, and he hated being, you know, minister's kid. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was what it was. Actually, I did kind of love it, because I used it occasionally to make other people think higher of me than I deserved. Okay, I have learned not to bother about a crease or a spot on my shirt. Personality speaks louder than appearances. I struggle with that. If you listen to Scott's and my show, you will know that I am a person that looks at appearances. And by the way, Adam, if you're listening right now, there's a really good picture of the two of us. He just sent a picture out of Adam and myself that he took up here. And I thought, he hates the lighting, but I thought the lighting was very good. It covered up some of my foibles, my problems, you know, like four chins, that sort of thing. Anyway, but the way you look really isn't who you are. But there are a lot of scientific studies and a lot of psychological studies, I should say, that the better-looking person quite often gets the job. The better-looking person quite often gets picked for a little higher position. Not always, but it's, if you're good-looking and you're intelligent, how many politicians do you know that are just stone cold ugly? Not very many of them. There are some, but not very many of them. The better you look, the more people will open up to you, I believe. Okay, number nine. And it's 12:40, so I've got 20 minutes, so I got plenty of time to finish the last five of these. Okay, number nine. I walk away from people who don't value me. They might not know my worth, but I do. Now, that's kind of an interesting statement of this person to write down. And now, just a reminder, these are statements that a person over 70 wrote about how a person over 70 feels. And he says, I walk away from people who don't value me. They might not know my worth, but I do. That goes back to one of the earlier ones where it talks about caring about you. You have to love yourself. And I believe that's important. If you're at the point right now where you're saying, I'm just terrible. I don't like me. I don't like my life. I don't like anything about it. Find some things in your life that are good. And there have to be some things in your life that are good. Now, if you happen to be on drugs or something like that, you will probably not see the good things in your life. So get some help. But if you are just down on yourself, and there are people that are clinically depressed, and go see a psychiatrist. When I retired, I was very depressed. I didn't know what I was going to do. Not clinically depressed, but I was kind of down in the mouth. I went and saw a psychiatrist for probably about 3 months. And she told me some things that made me feel better about myself. And I had never had a problem feeling good about myself. But she helped me out. She straightened the rudder up and my boat started sailing a little smoother. Probably on a close haul reach. I tightened up my sails, and I'm going to absolutely destroy this analogy, so I'm just going to leave it alone now. Anyway, get some help, especially if you're over 70, because you're probably on Medicare or Medicaid. If you have that, you can get psychiatric help. Now, it depends on the particular version you have. Mine was totally free. Now, it isn't totally free because we were paying like $200 a month for the extra 80% thing, or 20% thing. But get some help because you should you should walk away from people that don't value you. You are worth whatever you think you're worth, and sometimes you have to buck yourself up. All right. I remain cool when someone plays dirty politics to outrun me in the rat race. I am not a rat, and neither am I in any race. That's a hard one, especially for you younger people. Those of you who are under 60 or under, those of you who are retired, it's not nearly as difficult to avoid worrying about the rat race because you really pretty much have your own. You can do what you want to do. But those of you who are still working, and there are many of you who are over 65 that are still working, if you can remain cool when somebody is playing dirty politics on you, you are more the winner than that person. I know that's a cliche, and a lot of people have said that. My mother and father always told me that. It's basically the turn the other cheek thing. But it doesn't hurt. The only person that gets hurt by playing dirty politics on you is the person that's playing the dirty politics. They know they're doing wrong. Now, many of them have rationalized that that's the smart thing to do, which I guess it may be. But people around them see them do that and know that they're a jerk. And you don't need to play that game. Like it says, you're not a rat and you're not in any race. You really aren't. The only race that we're in is to get to our dirt blanket. And why do you want to be there so fast, right? I have no desire to hurry that up. I'm enjoying myself the way it is. I walk a lot. I do my grass. I do my gardening. I play with my dog. I love my wife. Life is good for the for Mr. Coble right now. And I know my worth, and I think you should know your worth too. And you're not in a rat race, and you're not what other people say you are. You're what you think you are. All right, I am learning not to be embarrassed by emotions. It's my emotions that make me human. Now there are people that cry at the drop of a hat, and I don't cry at the drop of a hat, but I might cry if I slip and fall. I am easily emotionally moved. Little puppies, little kids, all those things, they make me feel, anything that makes me feel good will bring a tear to my eye. And there are a lot of things that make me feel good. And the older I get, the better I feel about, I just love watching kids play. I love hearing them play. Now, so I will hear other people say, they're too noisy, shut up, you know, that sort of thing. Let them keep playing. As long as they're being respectful of each other, as long as they're not being obnoxiously loud, you know, like calling people dirty words or lying to other people or something. If they're just screaming because they're having a great time, let them go. Let them go. All right. So don't be embarrassed about that. I am embarrassed, I must admit. I used to, more than now, if I started to cry because I was watching something on TV that grabbed me emotionally, I would turn my head away so my wife couldn't see it. I've given up doing that. I don't mind if she does see me with a tear running down my face. And there are a lot of times recently that it's come to that. You know, there have been a lot of really emotional things that have happened recently that have to do with kids. And or bravery, people that are being brave in the face of evil, people that are being honest in the face of unrelenting lies. That type of thing makes me proud of being the type of human I am. And you ought to be proud of the type of human you are. If you're not proud of the type of human you are, examine it. You can change. Maybe you don't want to change. Maybe the money is more important to you than the honor. Maybe the money is more important to you than the honesty. Maybe the money is more important to you than your family. If that's the case, take my first, my earlier recommendation and go see a psychiatrist, because that shouldn't be. I can't imagine you'd want it to be that way. There are people that the money is the most important thing, and they think it makes them more important than you. And quite frankly, if you watch what they do, they do get to do a lot of things that you don't get to do. But they still have to sleep at night. They still have to be, they still know what they are in their hearts. They know what they are. All right. I have learned that it's better to drop the ego than to break a relationship. My ego will keep me aloof, whereas with relationships, I will never be alone. Now, that's kind of interesting. I have, as I think you can probably tell, I have a pretty good size ego. I don't say that with embarrassment. I'm lucky. Some people say it's because I was the third of three children. My sister-in-law thinks that I was a spoiled brat. I really never thought of myself as a spoiled brat. I wasn't given a whole lot of things. I was given a whole lot of love. And my sister-in-law's husband, my brother, John, he was given a whole lot of love, and I think he kind of squandered it. Money was more important to him than the love, I guess. I remember him telling me how he hated my father. I kept trying to explain to him that he didn't hate my father, but I don't know. Maybe he did. Anyway, my sister, and I've said this before, my sister was an angel on earth. She loved everybody. She did everything she could for everybody, and she had three of the most wonderful kids you ever want to have. Almost as wonderful as my own kids. All right, let's continue on before I start to cry and get emotional, okay? Dropping the ego instead of breaking a relationship. There are a lot of younger people. I've noticed a lot of younger people that the ego, you know, they get in a relationship with somebody, and for some reason or other, they feel disrespected. And it's kind of sad that they feel disrespected. Leave that alone. Why do you think that other person likes you? They're not disrespecting you. So let the ego drop a little bit, and you'll find that that relationship will just blossom, and you'll love it. Okay, let's move right along. I have learned to live each day as if it were the last. After all, it might be the last day. And I am learning that more. Now, as I get older, you never know. You hope it isn't your last day. And I think about it more and more as I get older, tomorrow I might not be here. I've gotten to the point where I have become an agnostic, if not an atheist, more of an agnostic, because I'm not convinced that there's nothing out there. But I think you never know when your last day is going to be there. So always enjoy the day that you're in. And I know there are things that'll be horrible. I'm really not looking forward to my puppy dog is 16 years old, and she's not ill, but she's kind of feeble. And I know there will be a last day for her, and probably in the next year or two, if not earlier. And I dread that day. And then the other day I was thinking about dreading that day, and I thought, well, she's with me now. I ought to just love her to death. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I'm loving the day that I'm with her. We go out and walk every night. And when we walk, there are nights where she's real springy and bounces around and runs and has a good time. And I just relish those days. Other days, she's kind of slow and walks slowly. But we enjoy that, too. The other night, we were out walking, and there was a odor of skunk. And I was afraid that skunk was going to come out and get us, but it did not. I'll ask James Anderson, who's going to be on with me a week from tomorrow. I think that's the right time. He's our Marion City or County naturalist, and he knows all about those things. I don't know where the skunks go, but we sure get them in our backyard a lot. All right, don't forget, this could be your last day. So enjoy the day. Enjoy it. Put down all those stupid things. You know, I get angry when somebody cuts me off while I'm driving or something like that. And I have learned to say to myself, okay, let it go. It's not going to hurt anything. As long as we didn't have an accident, it's okay. One of us was foolish, and we don't know which one was foolish right now, so I leave it alone. Handle each day as if it were your last. Okay, it's 12:54, and you're listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. Kind of off the beaten path today. Got a list off the Facebook from a gentleman who is over 70, and he said these are things that he had started thinking about since he turned 60 or 70. I'm not sure which. And I just thought it would be interesting. Now, I know not everybody listening today is over 60. There are probably several of you in your, I hope there are some of you in your younger years, some of you in your 30s and 40s and 50s. it's something you should think about before you get to the place where I am right now, where the end may be around the corner. The natural end. Let's hope there isn't an accidental end, which happens to many people, way too many people. All right, the final thing that was on his list, I am doing what makes me happy. I am responsible for my happiness, and I owe it to myself. Happiness is a choice. You can be happy at any time. Just to choose to be happy. Now, I'm not a big fan of the word happy. I'm not quite sure what happy is. Are you? Happy could be, you can take certain drugs that'll make you happy. Content is more the type of word I use. When I'm walking with my dog or walking with my wife or mowing the grass or digging up my garden, I'm content. I really have nothing better to be doing, and I really enjoy it. I enjoy the freedom of being retired. I'm content. I don't call it happy. Happy is kind of giggling. Happy is not the word I use. So I hope you are content with your life. If you aren't content, like I said earlier, see somebody about it. You should be. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to the people around you to become content with your life. If you can become content with your life, the people around you will be more comfortable. They'll be more content with their lives. And that will roll back on itself and it'll make you even more content. Might even make you happy. But like I said, I'm not a big fan of the word happy, but it would be nice to be, I guess, happy. But like I said, it's a little crazy to want happiness all the time because some things I don't find. There is music that I listen to that doesn't make me happy, but boy, it uplifts me. And I'm a big fan of listening to music, and especially music with meaningful words, things where we're helping each other. It makes me not happy, but it certainly makes me more intelligent and more content, and it puts a smile on my face. One of the things that makes me more content is how the entire world is turning a little bit more brown. I just love the fact that we are becoming more and more diverse. I know there are people that absolutely hate that, and I'm sorry. I wish I could help you because it's so much more pleasant to enjoy the people you're around, no matter their color, their religion, their shape, their sexual preference. If you can find a way to like people around you and not find guilt in them, or your life will be a lot easier because you won't have to struggle to be so kind. Just look for it. All right. Well, we got about 45 more seconds. I don't have any more questions on here. But the final question this person asked on this list is, why do we have to wait to be 60, 70, or 80? Why can't we practice this at any age? And I agree with him. It's never too late to start finding a way to allow yourself to be at peace with the world, at peace with yourself. Doesn't mean you don't do things to move yourself forward and move the world forward. Who knows? Maybe that will make you at peace. Maybe that will bring you some happiness. All right. Have a great day. Glenn Coble signing off.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.